The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, guys? You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We record episodes and interview the very best experts from around the world and cover topics relating to health, success, mindset, business, and even social issues. And each week, we give you some of the best advice and information on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. Your elite life begins now. On today's episode, episode number 330, entitled How to Upgrade Your Mindset and Influence the World Around You, I chat with Michael Burnoff. Michael Burnoff is a results coach, speaker, and best-selling author of the book Average Sucks. In today's episode, Michael talks about a number of profound and fascinating topics, including how to influence yourself and the world around you through self-talk, NLP, reframing your beliefs, hypnosis, and so much more. He breaks down a multitude of everyday psychological behaviors and dissects our mindsets and reasons for acting certain ways in certain situations, and most importantly, what we can do to correct these common errors in our programming. If you're wondering how to upgrade your mindset and influence the world around you, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. And guys, as always, for the best supplements in the world, vitamins, minerals, herbs, and natural compounds, go to EliteLifeNutrition.com. You can get everything from our men's multivitamin, women's multivitamin, B-complex, turmeric, resveratrol, magnesium, zinc, calcium, NAC, ashwagandha, sleep formula, milk thistle, ginkgo, and so much more. Their list goes on and on. And actually, we're adding our vitamin C product very soon, a buffered vitamin C, which is incredibly powerful and better absorbed in the body, and also an incredible vitamin D product coming very shortly in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you check that out. Stay tuned for that as well. We have the best supplements in the world and the highest standards and quality that you're going to find anywhere else or that you won't find anywhere else. Go to EliteLifeNutrition.com, guys, right now to order your products today. And also, if you haven't joined the Elite Man newsletter, go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and sign up today. Get all the latest updates, information, and stuff we can't post about or talk about anywhere else because we have gotten shadow banned, censored in other places. But the one place you'll always find all the information and news you need to have is the Elite Man newsletter. That's elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. Make sure you sign up today, elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine. And my guest today is my friend Michael Burnoff, coming back on the show for the second time. Michael, thanks so much for coming back on.
I appreciate it, my man. Justin, I'm thrilled to be back and had such a good time last time. We're ready for round two.
Love it, man. I love it. What have you been up to the last year and a half or so since the world just went upside down and flipped on its head?
It's weird. I'm about to do, it's interesting you said that, because I'm going to do a live or something soon where I talk about like how to adjust to this new world, because it's almost like there's three worlds going on. There's this dream of this thing we used to have called our old life, right? Which still exists. There's all that virtual shit that we think we have to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then everyone's back out doing things again. So it's like, which world do we live in? So, so I did my own thing. I mean, during all of last year, you and I've talked about this, I did my own thing. I got up, I live in Arizona. So we went to work every day. I got a huge office and a few people here. So we did the thing we were doing, and we never stopped helping people learn how to communicate, influence each other, influence themselves. So we never stopped doing that. Our median changed a little. There was a period of time we did Zoom. I mean, I built out, even before Tony, it's one of my claim to fame, before Tony Robbins even did it, we built out a ridiculous studio downstairs where we were able to broadcast thousands of people on Zoom at once and do a group event. We found the tech to do that in March prior to anybody else in the world doing it. So we beat everyone. We were one of the first to market to that. We brought out big screens and projectors. And like, we had everything in the office. I felt like we were like undercover, like operating. Like, you remember Red Dawn? Like, I felt like we were Red Dawn. Like, I don't know if we're supposed to do it. So like, we had all our projectors out and we, big screens. We had like 50 people on this screen, 50 on this, 50 on this. We'd scroll through them. So our video crew could do it. So I felt like I was at a live event. And we were doing that in March of 2020 prior to anybody else building anything like it.
No shit. That's awesome, dude. And you were getting like 1,000 people on your calls?
Thousands. Yeah. So we were like, here's what's crazy about last year. So like, this is an interesting thing to think about. So normally you don't have people's attention. People were so bored that they were home. Like I was offering, gave away $3.5 million worth of our course. So we had the $600 course we sold called Call to Action for years. So instead of selling it, instead of getting like 500 people on a month, we were getting 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people on every single month, right? Wow. Because they were home. So we're giving it away, and here's doctors, teachers, lawyers, people in government agencies, they have nothing to do all day. Yeah. So if I offered them a way to get better, they never would have met me prior. So like, it was really interesting how the challenge of, I don't even say the word COVID, I just call it like a unique year. I don't even want to give it any credit, right? That unique year we had, during that uniqueness that we had going on, it opened up a lot of eyes. So instead of like 1 or 2% of the world, like you and me, wanting to do personal development, 7 to 10, my babysitter when I was a kid, Robin, took my class, purchased a course for me. It was crazy. And I never would have, she was working. She was home. It was crazy. Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
That's insane. It probably gives you a good sneak peek too into what's going to happen in the next 10, 20 years with online learning. And, you know, even, and I mentioned, and this isn't really what I believe, but this is my belief of like what I think is right or good. But I know that during the pandemic too, the governor of New York too was trying to say that this is like the new way of learning is at home learning, and they didn't want to bring kids back into school, which I think is stupid, but it is kind of giving you a preview into what's going to happen in the next few years. But guys like you and I can kind of take advantage of that, because we've already been doing this online learning thing for the last 10 years or so.
It's an awful idea. And I'm glad it's an option. And the reason I say it's an awful idea, I have children, right?
Yeah.
My daughter, we kept her home. I was paying, who cares? I mean, you and I know each other, and I guess the group doesn't know me. So I'm paying like $30,000 a year to keep my daughter in my living room, because I didn't want to put her through the, you're in school, you're out of school, you're in school, you're out of school. So I just kept her home.
Yep.
We got a chance to see the education at school. Wow. That's all I have to say. So I got to see what's going on in the classroom.
It's horrible, right?
What's that?
It's horrible, right?
Yeah. It's not even like, even if you take the political stuff out of it, like just, that's not how you teach. Like that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Real teaching when we were kids, like when a kid got behind, remember getting pulled into a computer class when you were a kid? I mean, I was always bad at school. So like I got pulled into other classrooms and stuff. And here they're like, okay, write this down. June 6, 1944, we invaded Normandy. Okay, next. It was like, why, what, how, what was going on? So the reason I say it's horrible, it's like kids are mean regardless, right? And a lot of them are. Their social skills got annihilated. So they're home, they're doing something different, they forgot to be amongst each other. So I just got to tell you, like, people need to be with people. So I luckily live in Arizona, where the rink was open after a month, 5 people there, we're going skating. I got my daughter playing flag football out on a field. We were doing anytime we could get out around human beings and she could socialize. That is such a powerful thing. So I like the online learning, but man, I'm going to tell you and I, we go to an event. I'm excited about the event, but I'm really excited about the dinner. I'm excited about you and I getting a nice dinner, going to, like, if we're in Boston, hitting a seafood place at night for dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Spending 3 hours, relaxing, talking. That's what an event is. It's the relationship. So that might just be me talking. And I think there's an element of the Zoom and the classroom stuff, but man, human beings are designed to be with each other.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree. And I think that the online learning is good for some people. Some people can learn better in, like, you know, different ways, and that could be one of them. But I think for the majority, the overwhelming majority of people, we learn better by communicating in person, by, you know, feeding off each other, by picking up on little cues, social cues, and that, even just the communication, learning that aspect of life, interpersonal relationships, face-to-face communication, that is a skill in and of itself that so many of these children already are lacking because of, you know, cell phones, smartphones, technology, which is taking over. But now you throw in this whole thing where you're isolating kids for a year, year and a half, even some places I think are still doing it. And now it's like, you just set these kids back years on their communication development.
Yeah. I don't know, man, what we're going to, I don't know what we're going to do with, I don't know what we're going to do about that. I believe there's going to be a revolution at some point. It's going to be a tough one. And I don't mean political revolution. I mean, with the phones, I have several parents that we've made pinky promises. Cause I it's interesting. I have a 20-year-old, right? And I have a 9-year-old, and I've already seen what social media does to a 20-year-old. Thank God Tara turned out well, but she's even has in the back of her phone, like extended use. I've ever sucks at mine, but she's got extended use of phone, destroys confidence and creates insecurity. She's a gorgeous girl. I got a redhead. She's tall. She's gorgeous. Nice. But she knows that staring at Instagram all day is detrimental. So I've got parents that we made like picky promises. Your kid doesn't, or my kid, we don't get phones till we're 14. And I'm looking there, my daughter's 9. I'm like, oh, it's coming soon, man.
Yeah.
The peer pressure, the worry. So we're going to have to, as adults and parents, accept the responsibility that these are drugs. I bought in 2008 a website. It's called devicediet.com. And I bought Device Anonymous on purpose because, man, I am telling you, there is going to be a group called Device Anonymous eventually or something like it. And I will head it up. I will be part of it. It's going to be a 12-step program, how to get away from this shit, because this is detrimental. We could all throw these things away and we'd have an even playground again. It's a problem.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, it's a tool too. Like there are some good things. There's a reason why we both have our phones on us right now. You know, we use it throughout the day. It's a tool. We can use it for certain things, but I don't know about you, Michael, but I actually put mine away for a couple hours, or I'll just, you know, leave it on the charger and sort of walk away consciously for different parts of the day, just to get away from it. Because I don't want to be one of the people that's sucked up into it and just always focusing on things. Cause like you said, there's all kinds of studies coming out where mental health problems are coming out from it. Low self-esteem problems are coming out from it. Narcissism's coming out from it. All these things that people don't even realize are subtly happening and changing their brains, literally changing the physiologically, the brain chemistry of what's going on inside. That, you know, it's a drug. It actually is similar. It's not like cocaine, but it's similar to like what cocaine can do to a brain. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I have a challenge for everybody listening, and you too. This is no joke what I'm going to tell you. So I did a study on myself and I tested it now in thousands of clients. I had them do it. At least they said they did it. Right. And it's very simple. So whatever you do before bed, my background is I do all kinds of neuroscience, hypnotic stuff. I'm into like brain voodoo stuff. So whatever you do before bed, prior to bed, and you can do your own homework, whatever this is, whatever you think right before bed, it lives in your brain for 8 hours when you're sleeping and it spins around until you wake up. Right. So I tell everybody, I tested this years ago when Sons of Anarchy was on. This is how long ago. I you remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
And 10, 12
years ago.
When we first started watching this stuff, you'd get one show 1 week and one had to wait a week. But now that there's the ability to binge, because people say, Michael, what do you do? And I always say the, you know, like CNN and NBC, they got addiction experts and influence experts and Fox and everybody else. Those are my friends that work for the bad guy. I do the good guy version. I clean people's brains out. They fuck them up. Does that make sense? So
what do you mean they work for the bad guy? Like the CIA type guys?
Those bad guys. They work for people trying to get people's attention, make them buy stuff.
Oh, okay. Those bad. Okay. Yeah.
Buy into ideas. Like not the bad guy, like conspiracy stuff. I'm just saying, I got friends that are addiction experts. I mean, they work for Facebook on addiction stuff. I use that same technique to get you to go to the gym. They use it to get you to play Candy Crush.
Yeah.
So back when I was watching this show, I realized that if you watched it once a week, it's not a big deal. The second you can watch episode after episode, one after the other, and it goes immediately to the next episode, your brain doesn't know the difference between these characters if you really know them or not. So you start creating fear and worry about stuff. So you wake up in the middle of the night worried, like, oh my God, are they going to be okay? You're going through the emotions they're going through. So you start to have the feelings of doubt and worry, and they get you on a roller coaster. All the shows are designed this way. Even the kids' shows are designed to get you excited. This is why when we were kids, remember, like there was always a sex scene before the murderer and all those scary films, like, oh, ooh, wow, you know, the hot girl. And then immediately axe murderer comes and kills you because it's a series of emotions, one then the other. So what I realized is if you don't watch any of this stuff an hour before bed, like literally no videos, no show an hour before bed, I challenge everyone to do this. Put your phone in airplane mode. Now, if you got a sick relative, you might, or a kid, maybe don't put in airplane mode, put your phone on the other side of the house, right? Maybe you can hear it ring, or forward it to your home phone. Go get a home phone, put your phone in airplane mode and read a freaking real book with a book light. Hopefully like a yellow light's better than a white light, right? Mm-hmm. And tactile, the touching of a physical book, right? Physical pages, reading and physically filling your brain with words. Within 3 days, you're going to feel better. Your cloudiness is going to go away. And the reason I know this is I've tested on this myself several times. Any of those shows that are violent, that are exciting, that have a high, wonder what's going to happen next. All your Mad Men, Billions, all of them. And there's no excuse to watch any of them. They're designed in a way to get your $11 a month. And they're a $1 billion company because they figured out how to get you to always need to give them $11 a month. So the reason I'm telling you this right now is not a conspiracy or anything. It's a, you have to decide how you want to feel in the morning. So if you want to get drunk, but just as bad as getting drunk is watching 2 hours of shows. And I'm talking YouTube, Netflix, movies, anything. So what I do with my daughter is whenever we watch a show, I always watch in SD. It feels different. HDX, those are designed to get your brain to think it's real. SD standard, like different look, totally different. So we even watch stuff on the DVD still, just because it does not impact you as much. Just, I'm telling you, give it a shot. So airplane mode, read a book before bed, and no Netflix, Prime. I don't care if it's positive, how to be happy. None of that shit an hour before bed. You will feel better in 3 days.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, it's so true too, man. It's like what you're putting into your brain throughout the day, especially if you're like binging shows, like you said.
Yep.
It's like you're almost stepping into a different reality. Reality is only what we see and perceive the world to be. If you're perceiving and seeing the world as, you know, a show for 12, 10 hours a day, that's your new world. That you're, like you said, you're stepping into that world, and all of a sudden you're dreaming about it. You're thinking about it all the time. You're having all those emotions, negative, poor, you know, depressive emotions, whatever they may be, fearful. And that becomes your new reality. It's like, it's crazy that we don't really think about it in that sense, but it is like we are living in a simulation, or that we have this type of thing where it's like it can dictate, you know, our entire perception of what reality actually is, and so easily too. And that's just one thing. You mentioned like Netflix. There's also video games. There's also smartphones. There's also, you know, phones on your smartphone. And
you ever play Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah. It's a fun game.
Have you ever gotten your car after playing for an hour and you want to run somebody over? I'm not saying you want to, but you're already in that mode.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it makes people do that. I'm just saying you shouldn't even have the thought.
Yeah. But
the problem is you're in the game and it's like, oh, run people over, get your shotgun out. So it doesn't matter to you and me. Maybe we're okay. But remember like when we were younger, remember that kid, maybe this was you, I don't know, get drunk at a party, start a fist fight. Remember that guy when we were kids?
Yeah.
Marty was my buddy that would literally one drink and he's ready to fight people. Little guy, big chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Marty shouldn't drink and drive. Because Marty's always looking for a fight. He's violent. One drink. Mm-hmm. Other people could get blitzed and drive perfectly fine. I'm not recommending one or the other. I'm just saying there are certain people that this shit sets them off. And it's dangerous. You just don't know who that person's going to be. So especially with your children, you got to be really careful. Like, I'm not here like against it. I'm just saying understand what you're dealing with, because it will change yours and or your child's personality very, very quickly. I don't know how we got on this topic, but it's exciting.
Yeah. And it's the same thing too with like school shooters. It's, you know, sad as that is, you go back and you look at, you know, 90% of them, 95% of them, they all love the shooting games. They're playing Call of Duty 24/7. They're, you know, Grand Theft Auto. They get desensitized to violence because they're living in that world. And all of a sudden that actually becomes their reality. I mean, it is a fascinating topic. I don't know really what the solution is for those things on a mass scale. I don't know if there really is one, to be honest, but I know what we can do. And what you're saying, recommending is certainly a big part of that, consciously, you know, taking those little steps.
Yeah, we got it. We got to get people back reading again. Because when you fill your brains with words, words then become part of your spinning in your head, and it gives you new definitions of things. And when you can redefine, it is a game. It is not reality. Like people say, I love that game. When you love something, your brain wants it all the time. This is one of the things I learned years ago. Like, I love cheesecake. Well, then your brain is going to love cheesecake. If you talked orgasmically about broccoli or your supplement line, if I orgasmically talked about like, oh my God, your supplements turn me on. They're so amazing. I love them. I would dream about them. But the problem is I say, I love ice cream. I love cheesecake. I love funnel cake, right? And when we remember funnel cake when we were kids. So you say, or Zeppelin's, right? At the at the fair. So we say we love these things, right? And whenever, it's kind of funny, right? So this is what most people don't do. They label things in their life in a way that deteriorates what they want. They say things like cold calling's hard. Why the hell are you calling it cold calling? Go outside, it's warm. Like calling people you don't know is unique, new, and different. It's not hard. It's just something you're not used to. Second, you make it hard, you put it in a box like bending steel with your teeth, which is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes to influence and having our minds being influenced, how do we switch it so that we become the influencers? How do we switch it so we take over the program and then we can start, you know, enacting what we want into the world instead of the world deciding what happens to us?
Okay. So here's the thing. I have a big sign downstairs that says, you have to accept the power of your own influence. We are influencing ourselves all day long and everything comes down to one thing. Like someone asked me earlier, like what your why is. And I said, oh, you know, why do you do what you do? And I just basically said, listen, here's what we believe here. Communication is the most underdeveloped and underutilized asset that we have in the world, period. So all influence is high level communication. It's free. It's easy to use. It isn't complicated, but you just got to be cognizant of it if you want to use it. So I'm just going to say everyone listening right now, it all comes down to communication. So I give you an example. Like, give me an area of life that a person might have a problem. And listen, we didn't plan any of this. I'm throwing you on the spot. So hopefully we can do this, but give me an area of life. And I'm going to show you how communication has the ability to better somebody's life.
How about somebody's confidence?
Okay. So I was training on this recently and I said, okay, so let's say you had a bad day. Where does confidence come? You play sports when you were a kid?
Yeah.
What'd you play?
Baseball, basketball, wrestling, football, a little football.
Okay. You ever strike out?
Yeah.
You ever say to yourself, this is not my day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So whenever you say this is not my day, I'm not saying this is detrimental. You've just made your problem at the minimal be 24 hours. Luckily, if it's 6 o'clock at night, you got six more hours in you, you'll get through it. What most people don't say is that was not my at bat, or that at bat did not go well, or I swung not well right then. This is where most people go wrong. They don't language things correctly. They use words like divorce. And I've met people that say, man, I'm divorced. When did the legal battle happen? Oh man, you know, 4 years ago. You're not divorced, you're single. Let's just get really real. You're single. And divorce to people, just that word means shame, doubt, worry, insecurity. Let's just call it what it is. It's not like nobody looks forward to divorce ever, even if it was necessary. So I say, instead of using the word divorce, which is you should use in a legal context, right? Like physically, when you go to the court, go get divorced. But then when it's done, bottom line is the way you describe that to people is my relationship with John, Jim, Jill, Janie is different than it used to be. What's amazing is it's the truth. It's like death. Death either means gone, I'll never see you again. But have you ever lost anybody you love?
Yeah.
Are they still in your life at some weird way?
A little bit. I've been fortunate though, not to have any major losses, but you know, uncles, cousins.
So let's just say you lose somebody you love, right? Typically people like, I got a friend in Boston. He's like, he talks to his dad all the time. It's like his relationship with his dad is different. If he's gone, you're going to be in pain forever.
Yeah.
If their relationship's changed, you've got hope to make it better. So if you want to develop confidence, confidence comes from lack of confidence typically comes from a very simple formula that expectations minus reality equals disappointment. And what that means is you expected something to be different. Reality, it is different. And then you're disappointed. When we grow confidence is when we get less attracted to the expectation and more accepted to the reality. The reality is I have not figured out how to do that yet. When someone asks me, do you know how to hula hoop? Of course I can hula hoop. Of course I'd be great at it if I wanted to be. I just haven't chosen to be good at it. My difference in answer is a difference in life. And I'm going to tell you that human beings that are confident believe they can do things based on their language. They don't believe any differently than you. They language it differently to themselves. They don't say, I don't know. They say, of course I could be good at it if I chose to want to be. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of living.
Yeah.
Totally. It's not positive thinking. It's different framing.
Yeah. And as an NLP guy, you know just how important it is to have those thoughts and the words and yes. Choosing the right vocabulary as opposed to, you know, living in the past of what didn't happen right. And then you're stuck on that. And then it's like, that's replaying, you know, video over and over again. But you got to just change what's playing because, you know, you have control of what's going to happen anyways. It's not like what happened in the past defines you right now or in the future.
One of the best words you can ever use is up till now and in the past. So there's a guy that's a smoker, right? He's a client of ours and he didn't smoke anymore, but he did. And I said, it's quitting smoking hard. And he says, it's extremely hard. I said, that is a wonderful belief to have if you haven't started yet. So meaning if you're a kid and you've never started smoking, the number one thing you should believe is smoking is hard to quit. So you should never go near it, right? Like don't go near it. It's hard to quit. But if you already started, You should probably not believe that because you'll never quit. People don't understand how tax dollars work. So the cigarette companies get discounts on their ads by putting down below the foundation they have about quitting smoking. The shit is twisted. So really? Philip Morris can put down below. If you have trouble smoking, which allows them to get a tax break, if you have trouble smoking, call this hotline. Or if you have trouble gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you put that on your ad and you own Harrah's Casino, you lower the price of your ad. It's freaking nuts. It's why it's in the bottom of all the cups. So wow. It looks like a service, but it's also reminding them you're going to have trouble quitting, which is beneficial to them. So it's subtle influence, right? Yeah. So I said to the guy that's having trouble smoking, I said, listen, there's going to be a day where it's not going to be hard because you've already quit. And he goes, I know that. I'll have that day. And I go, you can make that day any day you want. And then he said to me, is it okay to believe that? I said, would you like to believe that? Is it possible for you to believe that? And he says, yeah, I believe it's possible to believe that. I said, you're going to believe that at some point. At some point, you're going to believe it's easy to quit. But it's not a good idea to believe it's hard to quit if it is something you've started. So he started to understand that. And then he said, he started using these words, up till now, it's been hard to quit. And then he started putting his cigarettes in the past. And he said, as he's smoking is something I used to do. Smoking is something I used to do. And as you say, I used to do something in the past, your brain recalibrates where it keeps the picture. And it's very hard to have a current thing when you say something, I used to drink alcohol. Alcohol is something I used to drink. That's step 13 for AA. It should be, in the past, I lived differently. Now I have a different life. And they haven't made step 13 yet. So it's fascinating how many people we've got them to create two lives, the old and the new, and they hid in their fake life what they used to do that they don't like anymore, and they can't do it in their current reality.
Yeah. How quickly have you seen some people, because I know NLP is one of the most powerful tools for change. Yep. How quick, and by the way, I saw this, and I put it in the book. I had Elite Mind come out last year, actually, too, right before the whole shutdown and everything.
Yep.
Anxiety, depression, overcoming all those types of things. Incredible book. But I put in the book a snippet about Richard Bandler. He goes on this talk show with Michael Strahan and somebody else, the woman there, I forget her name. But Strahan has a lifelong fear of snakes, these giant snakes he's always been terrified of. And in about 10, maybe there's a little bit of work going on in the background between like commercials and stuff, but maybe like 10, 20 minutes later after working with Bandler on some NLP techniques, by the end of the show, Bandler's holding the python or whatever type of snake. It was this massive thing wrapped around his like shoulders and everything. He's got no fear of snakes by the end of the show. Yep. So like within just a few minutes, Bandler was able to transform this guy's entire lifelong phobia of snakes. How quickly have you seen personally your ability, even phobias?
Five minutes or less.
Really?
5 minutes or less. Yeah, I've done it 1,000 times.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over again. So all it is... Let's simplify NLP for everybody here. Let's just even forget those terms. I teach something called HIT because I didn't want to get into it with Bandler. So I invented human interaction technology, but same concepts, right? Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is everything in life is pictures, sounds, and feelings. So if there's not a snake present and you have a fear of snakes, like I've had people fear of cliffs, snakes, militias, Star Wars figures, you name it. I've heard every phobia in the world. I've had them in my office and out. Like there are some very well-known public speakers these days that do very well that I got them over their fears. I pay me $5,000. I get them over their fear of public speaking in 10 minutes. And then they make millions. I'm getting the bad end of the deal. But do you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So what happens is everything is picture, sounds, and feelings. Let's just call it that. How you hold the picture, sounds, and feelings in their head. Like most people have a fear of snakes. I go, where do you picture the snake attacking from? And they always point up. There are no snakes in trees. There's not. I live in Arizona. Gardener snakes and pythons are on the freaking ground for the most part, right? So they jump up at you. They bite your leg, but everybody's scared of them jumping out of a tree. We create false realities. So when you alter the picture, sounds, and feelings inside of a human being's brain, how they see it, what happens is, I'll give you an example of this, and it's crazy, right? It's a little bit crude, but you'll like it. And it changes the emotion. And when the emotion changes, the picture changes, the emotion changes, and the emotion changes, the reaction changes. There's a very famous influencer out there. Let's just say he has a brother. Let's leave it at that. He's one of my clients. Let's leave it at that. He was having trouble getting over a girl at one point. We'll just leave it at that. And I'm not saying who anybody is. And I got him to, he couldn't get over her because he pictured her beautiful and stunning in the white t-shirt and the jeans. Like every guy pictures the girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying? Like just this picture. Right. And I said, you ever seen her get sick? And then I had a picture of her getting sick and vomiting and hungover the next day. He was less attractive. So I replaced the picture in his head of this very attractive girl with the girl he's holding her hair while she's throwing up in the toilet. Right. Mm-hmm. Instantly, he's not bothered by her anymore. I even brought out the smells, the feeling and everything. Now he's disgusted. So the reason he was couldn't get over the girl is he was picturing her sexy and attractive. I made her a little smelly and repulsive. And I left that picture big, bold, bright, IMAX in his brain, like he's watching it on an old school 1992 IMAX, like you're at Disney with the headphones on, like you've got on, and he's watching this. And it took me 11 minutes. He had no interest in her again, deleted her from the phone, never spoke to her again. Wow. Boom, 9 minutes. I do that with rape, abuse, everything. And it doesn't matter because if it already occurred, and the only time I beat myself up about this that I don't recommend it is my friend did call me, his dad, he watched his dad pass away at the hospital hours earlier. You do have to give someone a little time to grief and a little time for like to go through the natural process. Yeah. So now I wait at least a month and I say, hey, when did it happen? It's been a month. I'll help you get over it. So when I got the phone call after the second shooting in Colorado, not the Columbine, but the one a few years back, one of my students yep. was there and her daughter was in that school. And I had to help a bunch of the kids out, go up there, go deal with the kids, help them get that out of their heads. I waited a couple of weeks, but I was able to put a picture of them being the hero and not being the coward child in their heads. And they were able to move on with their day. So I did a lot of work on that. I've done that many, many times. It's one of the big things is I want to help children, especially live incredible lives. So that's the phone call I get every once in a while. Like, hey, my kid was in a school shooting. Can you help them not be scared anymore? And I do that.
That's incredible, man. That's such great work. And what age do you think, or is there really an age that children are too young to really pick up on what you're saying and pick up on these concepts or benefit from it?
Age is interesting. At our events, it's typically 16 because the mature conversation matter. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be responsible for bringing up things if parents aren't ready to teach it. Mm-hmm. I would say 12. I would say even little things that you could do early on with your kids to help them get it, like including the word yet in their life. Like, I don't know how to do this. Getting them just understand the word yet. Dr. Amen's a friend of ours. Do you know Dr. Amen?
Yeah, I don't know him personally, but I know his work and stuff. Yeah.
He's great. We'll work to get him on the show one day. You'd love him to be on. And he wrote a really good book for kids called Captain Snout. Mm-hmm. And it's all about asking these questions like, is it true all the time, every day, always, and every minute? And by asking that, the answer is always no. So you can never think you're bad at something because that question gets you to realize that's not true always. Yeah. And as soon as it's not true always, possibility shows up.
Yeah. Incredible. You know, what's funny is, you know, you might, you know, and you, I'm sure I probably have done this with your kids for years, but you might not, like, if it's not your kid, you obviously, there's some, like protocols in place to,
it's easier with other kids, everything, other people.
But, I had a little nephew once, who couldn't, I still have the nephew, but he couldn't sleep when he was real little, probably like 6 or 7. And he was just like, you know, he was walking around the house and he just couldn't go to bed for hours, hours past his bedtime. And he wasn't going to sleep. And I was just thinking in my head, because I'm familiar with NLP, I'm familiar with hypnosis. And he was so little, he didn't know what words were. He might even have been 5 or 6, but he didn't know how to read. So I picked up this book and it had nothing to do with what I was talking about. But I just started making up a story about like this bear who was like going through town or something. And I was just talking, like reading the thing, and it was, and it might have had a picture of a bear, but it had nothing to do with what I was saying. And the bear goes to town and he's like walking and he's getting real tired as he's walking into the town. And, you know, his eyes are getting heavy and he needs to take a nap and he goes to rest. And, you know, 3-4 minutes into this made up story I come up with, my little nephew's passed out sleeping because awesome. He's taking all those pictures, you know, the words that I'm saying, putting that into his own head consciousness. And it's like, total, it's having such an incredible influence in a positive way on his emotions.
Yeah. So the way hypnosis works is the brain, this is why, back to our original conversation earlier, hypnosis is a wonderful thing. We're all in hypnosis, hypnotized all the time. Let's just get really real. Words hypnotize us, magazines, casinos, life, TV, water, while you're drinking your water. You leave one state, go to another. We're always hypnotized. So there are certain words that relax you. if you have trouble sleeping, anything other than trying to go to sleep is going to help you go to sleep. So just trying to go to sleep is just going to keep you awake.
Yeah.
So anything other than that, that's why counting sheep works. So when you, there's an interesting thing that you said, you should look up this audio. I think somebody took your idea. It's called The Elephant That Couldn't Go to Sleep. And the elephant goes down 10 stairs. Stair one.
Yeah.
Is deeper than stair two.
That's the induction phase right there.
It's the whole induction. So it's like, the problem with the word hypnosis, it reminds people the word herpes. It scares them, right? Instead of like, it's a scary term. Instead of recognizing, like, when I do trance, I do like instant trance, like instant, like out, like Bandler does, instant, like out. And the reason I do it, people say, oh man, what do you see when you're under? Everything, right? Like, so I'll walk around the room. The person's in like still, arm out, right? Eyes closed. And I'm on like a room with speakers, surround sound. Point where I'm at in the room. Their eyes are closed. They point where I'm at. How the hell do they know when there's surround sound? They can't tell because their eyes are closed. We are more aware. So all of the greatest athletes, Mayweather, Tyson, I studied Mike Tyson for years. Customato. Customato got him into hypnosis. Most people don't know this. He is a master hypnotist. Okay. I don't mean he's walking around trancing people. He knows how to own his mind, Tyson. Yeah. So he was incredible. Read that book, man. The Undisputed Truth. His book is gold if you want to learn about hypnosis, basically. It's amazing. So all of us are in trance at all times. You can't take a punch if you don't understand trance, because you got to go somewhere else while you're getting your ass punched, right? So yeah, man, everyone should learn some level of communication that's higher than, hi, how are you, Justin? I'm Michael. Nice to meet you. Because the reason you and I did so well and the people we love and care about last year through all the nonsense, we went somewhere else, dude. You and I know that. We went somewhere else. We did what needed to get done. We realized it sucked, but we went somewhere else. We didn't sit down and cry. Yeah. And because of that, because we went somewhere else, other people didn't go somewhere else. They went into the bad. And that's why their world didn't work out that great for them.
Mm-hmm. How powerful, in your view, is acceptance or surrender to circumstances that you can't control?
Give me an example.
Like last year, so the pandemic, you mentioned it, it just brought up this thought, which was, you know, a lot of things going on in your world, a lot of shit happening beyond your control. There's shutdowns, there's lockdowns, there's mask mandates, there's, you know, this, there's that. Businesses get shut down completely. People that can't go and, you know, make a living from what they were doing for the past 20, 30 years. How do you control, or even just a different example, which is like someone who has to go to jail for whatever reason they, you know, unfortunate circumstances.
I know people that made poor choices and they've been away and I've had to visit them. I totally
exactly.
get it. You have, but I have.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, absolutely. And so how do these people get over the fact that they can't control their environment? They can't control their situation, but they have to control their mind so they don't go crazy. They don't lose their shit. Okay. How do you deal with those types of things?
Side note, remind me to get Andre, a Boston guy, on your show. He spent 15 years in jail as a gang leader. You're going to love this freaking guy. Now he's out speaking at Harvard. He's a badass and he teaches gangs in prison how to straighten their shit out. And he goes and straightens out prisons. The guy, remind me, you'll be amazing for your show. You're going to love this guy.
I love him.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make an intro. You guys are going to love each other. East Coast boys. So,
awesome.
So what happens is, let's take the COVID thing. Your reaction, are they watching this video or are they listening?
It's mostly audio, but we put some stuff on YouTube.
It doesn't matter. You did this, you go COVID and you don't even know you did it. You made it bigger than it was. So what people do is they put things bigger that are scary in bad places. So let's get really real. Joel Osteen is very smart. He puts the big teleprompter, the big IMAX above him, because that's where you put God in your life. So most people, when you think of COVID, it's out there. Oh my God, it's big. I like to put COVID on the ground and step on it. It's a little tiny little particle. Everybody made it like this big fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really little. Like the IRS is a letter in the mail. The IRS is not some big old agency. It's a letter that comes in the mail that's annoying, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to deal with it, right? It's a period of your life. So the thing with last year, I would say last year, you're better off saying last year was inconvenient and it sucked and it was inconvenient. Unfortunately, it attacked the three parts of us that any marketer knows about: health, relationships, money. All three got attacked at once. Those are the three things you sell to: health, relationships, and money. Any podcast, health, relationships, and money. Joe Rogan, health, relationships, money, right? That's everything is that. So if you look at last year, I realized that no governor said lockdown at all at first. Even Gavin Newsom said this: please stay home, California residents. I'll ask you to do something intelligent. The media said lockdown. That freaking guy never said it. He said, please stay home, stay at home order, stay at home mandate. They use the term lockdown because lockdown is good for ratings. Lockdown is good for stay locked down so we can have your attention. So last year, we were massively inconvenienced, okay, and possibly terrified, correct? But there were still a lot of things you could do, but our focus is on what we could not do. So really what the challenge is, like, God, I can't go to my restaurant, can't go to the ball game. But there was a million things you could do. There's a lot you couldn't do. I'm not saying I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I liked it. I lived in Arizona. Thank God I was able to do what I wanted almost every single day. But the point is, we got this big land. We don't on top of each other. Everyone's got an acre. Do you know what I'm saying? So except for if you live down in the city, right? So what's interesting about this is you've got to really frame that effectively for yourself. So I looked at last year as very inconvenient and very annoying. I didn't look at it as horrible. Okay. That was one very important thing. Going to prison and going away for a while, you're going to have a new chapter of your life. And this is not something anybody wants. And you're either going to hold on to what was, or you're going to move into what can be. And this is where most people really have a lot of pain. So most people's pain last year was not because of COVID. Most people's. It was from the mourning the death of what was and not being able to have what once was for a period of time. And that is where the pain came in. So again, everyone who's been through the transition of prison, let's just say, because I've had a few people, financial guys have made poor choices, right? Done some things that were not a good idea. What happens is you go away for a while and the biggest pain you have is I can't live my life the way I want to. Well, that was a delusion that you had that you were gonna live forward. So there's no answer for any of this. It's just, how are you going to frame it? So the problem isn't prison. Prison's a problem of itself. The problem is prison, an additional problem. I can't live the way I want to live it. So the next question is, how do I make the most out of this? And that's what most people don't look at life as. How do I make the most out of this phase of my life? And everyone I know who did well last year, and I would say at least hundreds of my friends that are well-adjusted communication influence-wise, had the best years of their life last year, not taking advantage of the situation by taking advantage of the fact that they were going to live their life the way they wanted to, which means I can't do what I want, but I'm going to do this the way I want to do it. Mm-hmm.
What do you, so that's for the COVID aspect. What about the people in prison? What do you, what have you seen? Maybe this guy, Andre too, who you mentioned, what are guys like that? What have they done to adjust to that circumstance in prison?
It sucks. First off, on the way in, you're going to be mourning your old life. There is a death of what was that will not be for a period of time. The sooner you go through your stages of grief on that, the faster it's all going to work itself out.
Yeah.
The question is, are you going to become one of them permanently, or are you going to be a chameleon the way that you have to? And most people that I know that have succeeded in those environments have played the game effectively, but known the difference between realities. So if you're a good, amazing human being, but has to play the game for a period of time, some of us just have to learn how to play the game of the world we're in. This happened in Germany in 39 to 44. Do you know what I'm saying? People had to play a game. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially people are hiding. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They had to play a game that wasn't true. You had Jews that had to pretend they were Catholic for a period of time. Do you know what I'm saying? And yeah, they'd hide in people's houses and played a game they didn't want to play. But if that's the game you have to play to stay alive, that's the game you have to play. So you can't change the environment, but you can change your identity and the figure you play. So our natural tendency is to be our identity of how we see ourselves and how the world sees ourselves. So you just got to figure out how you're going to identify in those situations.
Yeah.
It's a short version of that. Andre will give you more experience because I haven't been away for that long.
I love that. That's great. And as far as like when you go into those types of environments, maybe not just prison, but in general, where there's like, you know, sketchy characters, there's danger involved, you know, even like going to the bar in certain times of the day, certain times of the night, just areas where it could be dangerous. What types of how are your actions as far as influence goes, as communication goes? Do you have any like go-to ways of acting in certain situations that make you safer and less at risk for something happening to you or your loved one?
Yeah, you can't avoid. First off, I don't assume everything bad's going to happen. And that's one thing. Anyone assumes that you're going to get a fight or someone's going to pull a gun on you, probably you're going to do it to you eventually because you're attracting that, correct? Mm. Number two, I'm not naive, thinking things can't happen. And I've always learned that the more people on your team, the better. So in most circumstances, I like to buddy up with people. I'm one of these people that I'm a people person, but I like to have connections. I like to know people. So if I were in Boston and I went to one of those places, they serve Guinness all the time. Do you know those like friggin' butcher block tables, the bars, the South Side Boston, one of those, you know, Irish pubs, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you're at a place, a lot of fistfights happen in those kind of places, right?
Yeah.
So the environment is, I've realized also, your confidence is everything. And he or she is more confident is going to win. I mean, I've taken UFC fighters and I train next door at the UFC gym next door to us, trains some of the greatest fighters in the world. They train literally in the building next door to the building I own.
That's awesome.
Euroforce Academy. And I have taken fighters that are trained killers. And I've kindly said this to them as they look forward at me. I said, look, you're totally fine with taking another step, but be very careful because at each step you take, your legs will not only feel heavier, it'll be harder to move now. And I'll look them in the eyes, dead serious. Strangest frigging thing you ever say. And then these trained fighters can't move their legs. And I've done this hundreds of times to people that are professional fighters because A, no one's ever done that before. So when you learn personal power, Tony's word of his original book is not a Tony Robbins word. Personal power is a magic term. Magic term of it means confidence. And it means when you just believe it's so, it becomes so. It's no different than amen is so it shall be. Does that make sense? And abracadabra, so it shall be. And what, did you know that? I mean, most people don't know that. It's
no, I had no idea.
Amen, so it shall be. Do you know what I'm saying? No. Most people don't know. It's like putting it in work. So if you look at someone that you absolutely could take a step forward, but I'm also going to tell you in advance, as you take it, it'll be very hard for you to move and you will not fight nearly as good as you think you can. You can start anytime you want. And if you have unlimited confidence in yourself, I'm not saying they're going to back down, but you've just deteriorated them. And this is the thing I've learned is when you're certain of who you are and you're certain of your own communication, people don't look for problems with you. I play hockey my whole life. I've been in a bunch of altercations. I've also realized the way to avoid those altercations also. And it's really how you communicate with people. So I don't know if that answers you at all, but that's simple version.
It's a very
you're gonna watch me do it one day. I have guys that literally were cage fighters, cannot move their feet against me, who they'd kill.
Wow. Is that like the rapid induction type of thing?
Rapid induction, rapid confidence. And here's what it is. Can I tell you the secret to hypnosis?
Yeah.
Mass respect and love and rapport. So if you respect me, you don't have to like me. You respect that I know what I'm talking about. Massive amounts of self-respect and love. You will do what I tell you to do. You can get up, but it will not work well for you. Go ahead, continue. It's like Liam Neeson, man, and Taken. He talks that way.
Yeah.
It works.
It does work, though, in real life.
It will be a very bad idea for you to stand up, and you can feel free to do it at any time.
Where would guys mess that up, though? Like an amateur trying to do this?
Because they would say it like this. You can, let me get my script, and then you get knocked the fuck out. Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
So, like when I do future pacing, I'd say to you, Justin, by the time we're done with the show, not only will we have learned a lot, we're going to get to know each other better and find great ways to make other people's lives better. Let's get started. That was smooth. Most people are going to say, so Justin, by the time we're done with the show and you were back around your day playing with your friends and family, not only are, and it's like, they sound like they just got out of a late night, infomercial. So our goal is, our outcome is to say it's smooth. So one of my teachers years ago said a tactic known as a tactic blown. So if someone sees you doing it, you missed it. You fucked up.
Yeah.
Nobody can see you doing your thing. That's how much you have to do it. And you have to do it out of the betterment of others, because anything designed to harm or advantage you and not the others will destroy you down the road, guaranteed. That's our undercover thing we all believe. So if I'm going to gain and you're not going to gain, whatever I just did will harm me down the road. That is a belief that all masters of what I do believe to keep us congruent. So if you're not going to win with what I'm about to do and I'm going to get one over on you, I'm only harming me. Because every technique I did on you, I also did back on me because my mind heard it.
Yeah. So even when you're saying something like this, where you're confronting, say, this badass UFC guy, you're not saying it just to benefit yourself, like you're trying to intimidate somebody. You're saying it in the context of what I'm saying is true fact, but it's going to benefit both of us for you not to step forward or that type of thing.
I will tell you the craziest thing, which you may or may not know, because I don't have much experience you have with hypnosis. And this is if you listen this long, you deserve to hear this, but there's the crazy part. If I do it to him, guess who else can't move their feet at that moment?
Who?
Me.
Really?
So I have to go there with them. And that's what most people don't understand. So it's crazy. Now, granted, I'll get out of it if I need to. But the way it works best is if I'm saying it to him and me and we connect. That's what most people don't understand. So you're like, I'll even say it to you right now, Justin. You've been listening to me for a while. I've shared a couple things. You're watching me. Here's the part most people don't recognize. I don't know which it is, your right or your left foot. One of them gets warmer quickly. Which is it?
Right.
It got warmer, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we're 2,200 miles away from each other. And now my right foot gets warmer as well. And it gets heavier too. You can lift it. It won't be easy, but feel free to. It's heavier, isn't it? Yeah. You're wondering, stop it. Here's the deal. You respect me. I respect you. So it works. Here's the crazy part. Somebody listening to the show is going to email you and go, that freaking crazy guy, Michael Burnoff, made my foot warm while I was driving. You are going to get that email, guaranteed. And they're going to wonder how I did it. I recommended it. As you're sitting there, one of your feet will get heavier than the other. I'll let you pick which one it is. Or it could be both. Now, it's crazy. If I allow mine to get heavier, yours will get heavier. Now, it's funny. Like, why would you want to get someone's feet heavier? You wouldn't. What you'd want to teach a guy is that's the power of language. That's the power of what we can do. So if you can do that, you can learn speed reading. You could learn how to be a better parent, a better lover, a more patient, a better listener. So I teach you with the he in the feet, right? And I go, look what's possible. Look, I move the pain in your shoulder from your right to your left. Whoa. If I can move pain, I can move addiction. Boom.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That is so cool. When people have this, and we got to wrap up in just a minute, man.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm taking notes too.
It's great though. It's such an awesome
conversation. You enjoying this?
I love it, man. I love
this is like what, when you asked what Clubhouse is earlier, it's like people over listening to two people talking about crazy shit. That's Clubhouse. You and I will do a Clubhouse one day. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I'd love to, man. That'd be great. I got to get on it too. I've been hearing.
Well, I'm going to give you, I'm going to be your invitee. I'll be your sponsor.
Ah, nice. You're going to sponsor me.
I'm glad we met, man. Tucker Max is how we met. Did you know that?
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if you know Tucker well, but that's how we met. His team is who introduced us.
No kidding. No kidding.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is really cool. He's a fascinating guy, and he changed too a lot the last few years.
Became a good man.
Yeah,
he was always a great man, but he's incredible. He's like a role model dad now. He's a great guy.
No shit. Wow. Yeah, he is a good dude, and he's into psychedelics and all that stuff. You haven't messed with that, have you?
I haven't needed to. I have enough chemicals in my own brain, dude. I have so much. People say, why don't you drink, Michael? If you knew what I could do with my own brain, why would I bother? I stopped drinking 6 years ago. Not that I had a problem. I don't drink, don't do drugs because I have so much shit in my brain. I do NAD and vitamin drips. Do you know about those?
I know. Yeah, actually, both of them. I do NAD. True Niagen?
Yeah, it's like it speeds up the mitochondria. Yeah. It makes your brain work better. Yep. So it's like some sort of, I don't know what it is, but it's, I take IVs of like.
How often do you do the drips? Glutathione, vitamin C.
Every 2 months. Yeah, same B12. Thing. I do the Myers cocktail every couple months.
Every couple months? No shit.
Yeah, when you come out here, we'll do a drip party.
I'd love to. I actually haven't personally done a drip yet, but I know a few friends that have. And, you know, I haven't needed because I take vitamins every day, obviously. But
yeah, I take vitamins every day.
It's awesome.
Some of the stuff they're jamming in can't come in vitamin form. NAD stuff doesn't come correctly in vitamin form so what I'm told.
No, I agree. There's a certain level of, you know, power that comes from getting it right into your veins and right into the bloodstream that you can't get, you know, orally. It's 100% true. But what was the last thing I was going to say? I wanted to ask you one more thing.
Ask away.
Before we wrapped up, I just lost my train of thought on that. But
if you always look up to the left, you always remember, and ever you always have. You remember.
So we left off on the NLP, the rapid communication, rapid energy, and then Clubhouse came in and totally fucked me up. But
it didn't fuck you up. It just got you to sideswipe.
Yeah. But no, the Clubhouse thing is very interesting. It is something that I've been wanting to do, but it's been, like I told you before, we jumped on the call, been so on the supplement company the last few months. Yep. It's like trying to focus on one thing too. And then you got a million different things going on. It's like, you know, I'll jump from time to time to different things, but I've learned over the last couple of years, especially when I'm dialed in on one thing, it just makes things so much
easier. One thing very well. Is better off to doing a multitude of things. It's like, if you're gonna do social media, pick one median and dominate it. Just dominate it. That's all I gotta say.
When I first jumped into this whole thing, man, I tried to do everything: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, There's a bunch of other
like dating six
Reddit. Yeah. And it was stupid because, you know, you're spreading yourself too thin. You can't put any energy into one medium and then none of them. It's not a rising tide when it comes to this type of thing. When it's like you focus on one thing, you're dialed in, then you build up one source or one stream, one medium. Everything else will build up after that point. But if you're spreading yourself too thin, trying to do everything, they're not going to get off the ground.
Agreed.
But yeah, man, I can't think of what that other last thing was, but
you'll
we can
remember
sort of wrap things up.
Just send me an email.
Bro, we'll have you back on real soon. Love anyways. It. This was a great conversation. We could literally talk about NLP and influence probably for multiple hours.
Let's do that when we do our Clubhouse thing. We'll just get on and talk about influence. You and me, we'll invite a few people and we'll just do a really cool discussion.
I'd love to, man. I'd love to. And you say there's thousands of people that can get on some of these calls or
So what happens is, well, I'll talk about it offline, but bottom line is you'll have an account prior to this. And then every one of your listeners come find you on there. Those of you that have it, it'll probably be under Elite Man. Does that make sense? If that's what you want. Right.
Yeah.
And, a great name and, they'll come find you. And then every time you pop on, they'll hear you, but you invite a multitude of people. Like we do about entrepreneurship and then Grant Cardone will just jump on for fun. Does that make sense? That's how it works. Yeah.
No,
and
sure.
Then we all start talking. That's just, it's crazy. I like it because the auditory sense is my natural go-to. I'm an auditory guy. So I do believe the mind changes the quickest through words, not through pictures. And pictures take a long time, but words are so powerful. So if we are using words to indoctrinate people into new ideas, Clubhouse is the greatest thing.
Oh, shit.
Like it's podcasts that don't stop. Put it that way.
Really?
There was a thing on Trump Biden the other day, this agreement, disagreement that was going on for 16 hours.
Really? Just a back, like a debate.
I just put it on. I'm like listening for a couple hours in the background. I'm like, damn, this is interesting.
What the fuck are they talking about for 16 hours?
Same thing over and over again.
That's incredible. It shows you the power of it, though. That's why I'm excited about it. And I'm glad you reminded me of it today, though, because I have heard about some good things over the last few months.
Send me an email when you get a minute, and I will hook you up with an intro.
And then
any of your guests, it's probably a few people that find you first. They can email you and you could add, like, if they can bring some value to the table, maybe you can add them as your four or five people.
Oh, shit. All right, cool. So, man, it's been an awesome interview, man. We're definitely going to catch up soon and do this.
Yep.
What is the last send-off takeaway message that you'd like to leave the audience, whether it's influence, communication, NLP, anything like that?
Yeah, get what you want in your life. Play big. Stop being who he is you were. I think one of the biggest things most of us, I talk about this, I talk about the other podcast we did. If you liked what I said here, you can find that one from last year. Yet we have this natural tendency to be who it is we are versus who we're capable of being. And you've got to really address that. So one of the biggest influences we have is the influence over ourselves to be full version of ourselves. So here's where you look in the mirror is really to ask yourself this question. Have you played full out yet? On a regular basis. If not, if you've got room to grow, are you willing to be the full version of you? Because all your influence comes from stepping up a couple of inches. So like I'm 6'6" and I was playing life like 5'10" for years. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's 7-8 inches shorter than I need to be in life. So if you could accept that you're not where you want to be yet, that is the number one question you can accept in your life and go, you know what? I'm not where I want to be yet. And really mean it and live there and go, you know what? That means I've got room to grow. It will set you up to win in some of the most marvelous ways in life. That's a big thing.
That's awesome. Love it. That's such a good message. And Michael, where's a place you want to send our listeners to check out your work and what you're up to right now?
I've got a lot of things and I don't know when this comes out. So it's still available now. Definitely get my book, Average Sucks. I always tell everyone, if you're going to go to Amazon or you can just go to averagesucks.com. I'm giving away a bunch of audios and stuff. It's about how to live above your average in life, how to influence yourself to get the life you want. It's super cool. And this is something I started to do. I don't think I mentioned this last time we're on the show, because this is something I learned from last year. I'm giving away a $600 program to work with me live. Like you will talk with me like Justin is. If you go to averagesucks.com/challenge, you'll get an opportunity, our call to action program or Average Sucks Challenge. One of the two, whatever's being offered, averagesucks.com/challenge. I recommend it to anybody. I have billionaires take it. I have millionaires take it. I have broke people take it. I have people starting out, single moms, yoga instructors, you name it. Last year, we gave away $3.5 million worth of that program to people. But here is the coolest part about it. We've watched thousands of pounds come off people's bodies. People, I guarantee some of the people are using your products now because of it, because they're taking care of their health in incredible ways. People are taking care of themselves physically, mentally, emotionally, making more money. So if you like my attitude and you could take a kick in the head, let's have some fun. So come join me. If you're easily offended, I'm not your guy, but I don't think anyone easily offended would listen to your podcast, would they?
No. They dropped off probably last October, November.
Yeah. Bye. See ya. Right.
Yeah. So definitely check them out, guys. Michael, thanks again for coming on, brother. Really do appreciate your time. And I know our guys are going to love this one. So
I love it, man. Can't wait to get it out. Let me know when it's out. I'll share it with my folks as well.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.